This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal-mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. Ayyul ikhwa, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Wa nasallahu ta'ala an yataqabbal minna wa yaghfir lana dhunubana wa yukaffir anna sayyi'atina. Nas'aluhu bi'ilman nafi' wa rizqan wasi'. وعليه نتوكل وإليه المصير ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. We praise Allah, Lord of the worlds, as we praise and we send peace and blessings on His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And brothers and sisters, we always ask by asking Allah to accept from us, and this is really what the topic for today is about. Accept from us whatever we do. May Allah SWT put sincerity in our hearts in doing good works and accept our good works, widen our sustenance, give us understanding and knowledge which is beneficial to us in this world and the hereafter. And we are indeed utterly dependent on Allah SWT, and to Him is our journey. Today, after some time of break, I apologize for that. I've been away, as most of you will know. We're beginning with the exposition or tashrih of hadith number 10 in An-Nawwi Zarba'in. Last time we finished with hadith number 9. So I will first mention the hadith in Arabic and then translate for you, and then we'll take it little by little, inshallah. So Imam Nawwi, who doesn't remember, give the full chain. He gives the name of the Sahabi, who is mentioned in the hadith, and then it goes on from there. The Sahabi is Abu Huraira, and we talked about Abu Huraira in regards to what we know about him in the last hadith that we covered, hadith number 9, which was also reported from Abu Huraira. So, an Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah ta'ala tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. I'm going to, as I'm doing it to save time, I'm going to mention at the end of the hadith, Imam An-Nawwi says, Rawahu Muslim. It is reported by Muslim, in Sahih Muslim, the collection, of course, that's what it means. That's the text he's taken. If we look at the text which we referred to, then it starts a little bit different, although it doesn't change any meaning. That the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ayyuhan nas, O people," and then he carries on with the rest of it. Inna Allah ta'ala tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Wa inna Allah amara al-mu'minina bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. Faqala ta'ala, "Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu min tayyibati wa'malu saliha." Wa qala ta'ala, يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له أو in the actual original, فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. The meaning is the same, but to be the accurate words in Sahih Muslim. Here, overall meaning first, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, surely Allah the Almighty is good and does not accept that which is good. In other words, doesn't accept, only accept that which is good. And surely Allah has ordered the believers, as he has ordered the messengers, meaning he's ordered them with this, give them the same order, the messengers, Mursaleen, and the believers. And Allah says, so the Prophet is giving reference to the Quran. And the verse is in Surah number 23, verse 51, saying, O you messengers, all of you eat from the good things, yeah, from the tayyibat, and do that which is, and do, meaning of deeds, which are righteous and good, saliha. And Allah says, Allah Ta'ala says, in a separate verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 72, the Prophet ﷺ is quoting from the Quran again, O you who believe, eat all of you from that which is good, from what we have provided you with. Then the Messenger of Allah mentions a man, a person, Yutilu Safr, who has been on a long journey. Yeah? Long journey. Ash'asa Akbar, disheveled and dusty, this person. Yamuddu yadayhi ila sama. What does he do? He raises his hands to the heavens, like as if making dua. Of course, that's what he's doing, because it follows by him saying, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Yeah? Oh Lord, oh Lord. And wamat'amu haram. His food is haram. Wamashrabu haram. His drink is haram. And his clothing, وَمَلْبَسُهُ haram, his clothing is haram. وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, in fact, he's nourished overall in a haram way. Yeah. فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لِذَلِكَ. So how can this be answered? How can this dua, how can this person and his dua be answered? That's a rhetorical question the Prophet ﷺ is therefore putting. Okay. So, this is about really doing good deeds which are accepted or rejected by Allah, this overall summary of this hadith, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. What is the context of dua for the dua to be accepted? Same category overall, which is to do with acceptance of deeds and dua. This is what this hadith is really about overall. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he begins by saying, surely Allah is tayyib, good, and doesn't accept anything except that which is good. So tayyib has the meaning of clean, wholesome, and in this case for Allah it means good. Yeah, all that which is good is referred in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being good, of course we don't say the opposite of being bad. We can't, that'll be preposterous to apply to the Creator, our Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being good, we shouldn't be confused with the idea that human beings are not going to behave in a bad way. Some people get confused with this, and this especially happened with atheists and philosophers against Christianity, because Christianity said Allah is all good. And they said, well, if Allah is all good, why is there evil around? Meaning they were trying to blame Allah for the evil. But actually, it's a big topic. I don't want to go into that. Just briefly to mention that evil is that which is perpetrated by creation, not that which is done by the Creator. Yeah, we're not in any position to judge Allah, who is the judge of all judges and our Creator, and who is all just and all good. But Allah being good doesn't mean to say that on earth he's going to prevent every time somebody does wrong to somebody else, or any kind of wrong or evil, hurting someone physically, or bullying on the internet, hurting somebody's feeling, doing something wrong, that Allah's going to stop that from happening. Otherwise, it would not be the test that is happening in dunya. That is Jannah. Yeah? All good is in Jannah. There will not be any evil or harm or opposite to tayyib in Jannah. But in dunya, if human beings were stopped from doing any kind of evil, there'd be no test and trial. Yeah, there'd be no test and trial. Dunya would not be as we know it. So any kind of harm, if Allah stopped it every time being perpetrated, people will say, well, I didn't do anything then. Yeah, so This is part of the answer of this issue of evil, which is perpetrated by creatures, not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as part and parcel of trial and test. And it can only be really understood when you understand there is a hereafter to come. If it's in dunya only, then it's impossible for any atheist to really fathom it, because the hereafter and the day of judgment and paradise and hell has to be there in the full picture for us to understand that reality. So clearly, surely Allah is good, the tayyib, and only accept that which is tayyib. And the opposite of tayyib is khabith. Khabith. Tayyib and Imam Tufi, who came only a few decades after Imam Nawawi and did his exposition of the 40 hadith, and at least 100 or so years before Ibn Rajab, they both say similar comments on this hadith. Al-Haytami, who came much later, tends to just do cut and paste from what Ibn Rajab had said, as does Imam Zarabozo, mostly concentrating on what Ibn Rajab had said in the exposition of this hadith. So, looking at the word al-tayyib first, it can have various meanings. Generally, it means good and that which is wholesome. And the opposite, as I said, is khabith. We'll also look at the meaning of khabith. Khabith would be, again, either that which is opposite to wholesome, yeah, or not good, but which means bad. Khabith can mean bad. Tayyib, yeah, can mean that which is pleasing, that which is clean, yeah, that which is clean. And these various meanings, a tayyib, Imam Tufi says it can also mean halal, and he gives a verse from the Quran to show that, which is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 100, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Say, yeah, the bad or filthy is not equal to all that which is good and wholesome. How much ever, even though the abundance of the bad things might be pleasing to you. Yeah. Fattakullah. Yeah. Be in awe and fear of Allah, O people of wisdom. Yeah. People of understanding, so that you may be, perhaps you may be successful. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the two are not equal. Bad is not equal to good. That's what he's saying. So, really, you can't take from this verse that it's that tayyib means halal, although all that which is halal is tayyib, and as we find from other references, and I'll come to them in a minute, and all that which is halal is khabith, is bad, evil, or filthy. All of those are meanings of the opposite of that which is tayyib, which is khabith. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says in one of the meanings of tayyib in Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4, verse 3, when talking about marriage, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as part of the verse to do with orphans, and this is the ayah also do with saying marry from the women 2, 3, or 4. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I don't want to go into that topic, that's not the issue here. He says, فَنْكِهُ مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. So marry, yeah? مَا طَابَ. طَابَ is the same, طَيِّب comes from the same root as طَابَ. But here, that which is good for you or pleasing to you from women. Yeah, well, of course, it means vice versa as well. So Baba here means that which is good in your eyes, the person which is good in your eyes, person which is pleasing in your eyes. So Tayyib has that meaning as well of being pleasing. Tayyib has the meaning of Tahir. Yeah, clean as well. Yeah, clean, because the opposite, khabith, means unclean or filthy. All those are various meanings of tayyib. And we have some other verses. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse 157, the famous verse in reference to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming as the final messenger, to as a seal of the Prophet. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him and saying, Alladhina yattabi'una ar-rasul an-nabi, those who follow the messenger, and nabiy al-ummi. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him the messenger and the unlettered prophet. Alladhi yajidunahu maktuban indahum. Yeah, the one who they find, and he's talking to Christians and Jews here especially, who they find written about with them in the Torah and in the Gospel. What does he do, this messenger, unlettered prophet? Ya'muruhum bil ma'rufi wa yanhahum 'anil munkar. Yeah, he orders and commands them to all that which is good, ma'ruf, and he stops them, prevents them, and forbids them from all that which is wrong. Here, munkar is used. Then, وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. Yeah. He makes halal for them all that which is طَيِّب. لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. All that which is wholesome and good, yeah, from not just food stuff and drink stuff, but from behavior, all that which is wholesome and good, meaning good for the person and the society in this world and the environment, and good for them in the hereafter. Yeah, that's all under tayyib. Wa yuharrimu alayhim al-khaba'ith, and he forbids them, makes haram what is made haram for us. All that which is opposite to tayyib, all that which is khabith, yeah, all that which is bad, filthy, evil, and wrong, yeah. And as Imam Tufi and Imam Ibn Rajab have said, that means in regards to deeds, yeah, transactions, behavior, all this is covered in the halal and haram that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned. So here you see the use of the word tayyib and its opposite, which is khabith. It is also used as well in Surah Ibrahim, verse 24 to 26, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when he giving a similitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً كَشَجَرَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ أَصْلُهَا. Have you seen how Allah gives a similitude of كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً, of كَلِمَةً طَيِّبَةً? I know in the Urdu speaking, Punjabi speaking, Indian, Pakistani circles, when you mention kalima tayyiba, they think it's the first kalima. No, kalima tayyiba means good word, any good word. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. Here it's talking about good word and the right belief. Yeah, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, have you seen how Allah gives the similitude of a good word, which is like a good tree? Yeah, asluha sabit. Its roots are firmly established and deep. وَفَرْوُهَا فِي السَّمَاءِ, and its branches are high up in the heavens, meaning it's a healthy tree. تُؤْتِي أُكُلَهَا, it gives off its sustenance, meaning its fruits. Yeah, كُلَّ حِينٍ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهَا, all the time by the permission of its Lord. Yeah, then he contrasts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse with وَمَثَلُ كَلِمَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ كَشَجَرَةٍ خَبِيثَةٍ اجْتُثَّتْ مِنْ فَوْقِ الْأَرْضِ مَا لَهَا مِنْ قَرَارٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala contrasts the good word with the khabith, which is the bad word, the evil word, yeah, and says the evil word, yeah, the wrong word and the bad words, is like a tree which is its roots are not deep in the ground. It is uprooted, lying on the ground. Yeah, and it has no foundations and no firmness. Yeah, meaning it has no future. So Allah SWT is giving the similitude, contrasting the kalima tayyiba with the kalima which is khabitha, evil and wrong, saying it, in other words, it, bad words of any kind, yeah, lies, deceit, cheating, slandering, hurting others, being nasty to people, have no future. Yeah, they will not bear any fruits for the person, not in this world, although temporary people think they will do, but certainly not in the hereafter. Yeah, it will be not the, like the good and healthy tree, which will give its fruits. Yeah, and actually those fruits are given, yeah, good word from human beings, yeah, a kind word, a gentle word, a merciful word, truthfulness. All these things, don't they? They are like actually fragrance and fruits and things which flowers and trees give to its recipients. So it's like the good word from a good person. Doesn't it have a good impact on society and the people, whether in the family or the wider than the family in the community? How we as human beings, we love and cherish and respect a person who's always kind, considerate, and nice with their words. Yeah, they speak to us nicely, they speak to us respectfully. Yeah, and even if people are doing wrong, how they come across, yeah, gently with leniency. Which was the character of Rasulullah, which is the character that's being encouraged in all those believers who come to follow his example, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here again, a contrast between a good word and a khabith word. In fact, in relation to tayyib, Allah being good and only accepting good, believers are described as tayyibin. Yeah? The believers are described as being those who are tayyib themselves. In Surah 16, An-Nahl, verse 32, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, الَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ. Yeah, verse 32, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who the angels, yeah, come to take their souls, yeah, طيبين, and they are good souls. Yeah, يقولون. So the angels, what do they say? They say سلام عليكم. So you can say ادخلوا الجنة بما كنتم تعملون. That gives you an indication of the beautiful manner in which the angel greets such believers who are طيبين. Yeah, that's the, believers are described, yeah, as tayyibin here, yeah, the pious people, the people of good works, so who, and they are greeted, it indicates here, they are greeted at death with that salam, and also on the day of judgment as salamu alaykum, when the believers are entering paradise as well. May Allah SWT make us of those. So those are some of the examples from the Quran. To try and, when you want to understand a word like tayyib, as I said, means all that was good, wholesome, pleasing, then it's also good to look at the opposite of that word, which I've said is khabith. And you find that also in other places in the Quran. I haven't got time to go into this time. But we have in a couple of hadith, this idea is brought out, as the meaning of khabith, for example, or khabaith. Anas radiallahu anhu, Ibn Malik, the companion of the Prophet ﷺ and his khadim, reports in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, saying that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان دخل الخلاء قال Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And many of you know with this dua. Anas said that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to enter and go to relieve himself, yeah, that he would say, in the name of Allah, oh Allah, I ask refuge in you, min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. Most of the time you see this translated, and I've seen it translated as such all my life, and it says, I seek refuge, your refuge from the female jinn and from the male jinn. Yeah, min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith. It can have that meaning, but it's not the only meaning. And I think, and those who have deliberated on the words, and they said there's various ways it can be interpreted. If you say that Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith, khubth with having a sukoon on the ba, khubthi wal-khaba'ith, then its meaning, which is, I believe, more accurate and to the specific situation. Remember, it's about going to a place to relieve yourself, which is toilets are a filthy environment. They're not like the toilets of our toilets and bathrooms today. And excrement, thus passing urine and defecating, is not a clean, good thing. Of course, it's necessary, but it's a place you want to safeguard yourself from the filth of the toilet, from both, yeah, the stool and the urine, yeah. So if we say that the Prophet says, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubsi wal-khaba'is," that he's saying, "Oh Allah, I seek your protection, refuge from all that which is filthy and dirty, and khaba'is from." Some said it can mean khaba'is can mean it's a plural form. It can mean from shayateen, from evil of jinn and humans, yeah? And it can also mean from evil doings, yeah? Al-khaba'ith, from all evil doings, I seek your refuge. But, and if you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, then yeah, it can mean that, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from all female shayateen and male shayateen. But shayateen doesn't necessarily mean the jinn. Why did people mention specifically jinn, although the meaning of the hadith doesn't limit it to that? It can include jinn, yeah, but it can include human beings as well. But why they mention it specifically? Because the Prophet ﷺ mentioned specifically in regards to one relieving themselves in a hadith which is in Abi Dawood and others. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Satru ma bayna a'yunul jinn wa awrat bani Adam an yaqul idha naza'a thawba bismillah." That the screen between the sight of the jinn and the nakedness of the child of Adam, meaning human beings, is that he or she says when they pull down their garment, meaning to relieve themselves, they say Bismillah. So mentioning Allah's name keeps away, yeah, the idea of any harm from evil jinn here in this hadith, which is authentic, sahih. And therefore, you can link this with the other hadith of Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. But I would say that still the better translation of the dua is, oh Allah, I seek your protection and refuge from all kinds of filth, yeah, meaning the urine and the feces that are there, yeah, and it can go wider than that, and from the your refuge from the evil from jinn and human beings, or from the evil of male and female from the jinn. It can have, that's probably the best meaning. I mentioned that because the word khubs and khaba'ith, plural, and khubs can be the plural of khabith as well, linked with the idea of filthy and dirty and evil as well. Interestingly, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an, in an authentic hadith, he mentions the word khabith, yeah, filthy, to a couple of, in regards to a couple of plants, yeah. And he mentions it in regards to the eating of garlic and onion specifically. The Prophet from various authentic ahadith, we know, and I mentioned it perhaps before as well, and from a hadith in Bukhari Muslim, we find the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man akala min hadhihi al-baqlati thum, wa qala marratan, man akala al-basl wa thum wal kurras, fala yaqrabanna masjidana, fa inna al-malaikata tata'adha mimma yata'adha minhu banu Adam." Yeah? Whoever eats from this, the garlic, yeah, or from onion and garlic, and from leek, yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said, from these, then they should not come near our masjid, for surely the angels are harmed similarly as the children of Adam are harmed, meaning similarly as the human beings are harmed by the smell, the bad smell of the person who's just eaten garlic and onion or leek. So that's not to say that eating garlic and leek was haram. The Prophet ﷺ saying, don't come to the masjid when you've just eaten it, yeah? When you've just eaten it because of the foul smell. So it was disliked in that regard. And Umar bin Khattab radiallahu an is mentioning in authentic hadith, the context when he mentioned this in Nasa'i, in one of the places it's mentioned is by Imam Nasa'i, that Umar bin Khattab, that he stood up one day, addressing the people, yeah, and he said, "Innakum ayyuhan nas, surely, O people, ta'kuluna min shajaratayn, that you eat from two kinds of plants. Ma arahuma illa khabithatayn. In my opinion, both of these plants are khabith. Yeah, they're filthy. Yeah, they're dirty. He doesn't like them." So he mentions the word khabith in regards to these plants. You notice here, even though Umar's mentioning them as khabith, khabith doesn't necessarily make it haram. And you see, the Prophet ﷺ has not made these plants haram, although it's the opinion of Umar calling them khabith. The Prophet ﷺ didn't call them khabith. Yeah. So khabith can mean, you know, he doesn't like it because of its the bad smell. But notice what he says, despite calling it khabith, meaning he doesn't like them because of their odor. So he says they're filthy. Yeah. This onion and garlic. Yeah. He said, "I saw the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا وَجَدَ رِيحَهُمَا مِنَ الرَّجُلِ," that if he found the smell of these two from a person in the masjid, أَمَرَ بِهِ, he ordered that فَأُخْرِجَ إِلَى الْبَقِي, that he was sent out to the graveyard area, away from the masjid. Yeah, so then Umar bin Khattab says, فَمَنْ أَكَلَهُمَا فَلْيُمِتْهُمَا طَبْخَا, whoever does eat both of them, does want to eat them, then they should kill the smell of them by cooking them. Yeah. They kill the strong smell by cooking them. So why I mentioned that, because here Umar is using the word khabith in a more loose sense. Yeah. Otherwise, the Quran and Sunnah, where khabith is mentioned, is definitely negative and used for bad behavior, haram things in behavior, in transactions, and to do with eating food and drink. If it says khabith, it will be haram. Yeah, wa yuharrimu alayhim al-khaba'is, like Allah SWT said in the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ was sent to, and he made haram for them that which was khabith, filthy. and bad and wrong and evil, from behavior to food stuff and overall. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says that surely Allah is good and accepts only that which is good. Accept only that which is good. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying he accepts only that which is good, if we go back to some of the hadith about niyyah before, then we can also look at that. You've got to have the right and good intention for the deed to be accepted and to be good. And you're not doing it for other reasons, for dunya reasons, for material gains, for showing off to people, etc., etc. Especially to do with just showing off and getting purely to get some worldly gain. It's not that worldly gains are negative, because in the end we go out to work to make money as well, but so we can look after our children, all that under the halal. But in this sense, it means to get worldly gain in a haram way. That's what it would mean. In a haram manner, it's not going to be accepted. Any deeds or that which is impure, in the sense it mixed with haram, that's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the idea that's been posed here. To clarify further, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, which is reported also by Abu Hurairah, he said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ said that Allah says, قال الله, so this is hadith Qudsi, قال الله تبارك وتعالى. Allah, the blessed and the exalted, he says, من عمل عملا أشرك فيه غيري, whoever does a deed, it means a good deed here, but he associates in it with me something else or someone else, the shirk, I'm doing it for Allah and also for this statue or also for this this. Ashraka fihi ghayri taraktuhu wa shirkahu. I leave him or her, this person. In other words, I don't accept that deed from them, and I reject their shirk as well. I leave them and their shirk. It's totally rejected. Allah doesn't take part of it just because he was included in part of it. All of it gets rejected. And this is from Khabith, not from Tayyib. لا يقبل إلا طيبا. And therefore, in this regard, we have a couple of hadith that bring out the same idea. One was mentioned by Ibn Rajab, but this I'll mention is in Tirmidhi, but it's weak, this hadith. He says that this is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but Imam Tirmidhi himself says that this hadith is weak. So it is not accepted. And in this one, it means the idea is fine in the hadith. To be fair, the idea is fine, but if it's weak, we don't say the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the ideas are fine in it. Here it says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, claims the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that surely Allah is tayyib. Inna Allah tayyib yuhibbu tayyib. Allah is good and loves the good. Well, we have that in the hadith that we're considering at the moment anyway, don't we? Then it says nadhifun yuhibbun nadhafa. Allah is clean and loves cleanliness. Kareemun yuhibbul karam. He is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is kind. And he loves kindness. All of that we accept. All of that is true. Jawadun yuhibbul jood. Allah is generous and he loves generosity. Then it says fanadhifu afniyatakum. So keep your courtyards and your homes clean, basically. But another hadith, which is mentioned by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and he's Bukhari Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Man tasaddaqa bi adli tamratin min kasbi tayyib." Yeah, whoever gives charity, yeah, which is the equivalent of just a date, one date, from honest earnings. Yeah, from honest earnings. وَلَا يَسْأَدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا طَيِّبٌ. Yeah. And only that which is طَيِّب, good, is raised up towards Allah. Raised up towards Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتَقَبَّلُهَا بِيَمِينِهِ. Surely Allah takes those good deeds, yeah, or in this case, the good, the charity from lawful and good earnings, takes it with his right hand. ثُمَّ يُرَبِّيهَا لِصَاحِبِهِ كَمَا يُرَبِّي أَحَدُكُمْ فَلُوَّ حَتَّى تَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْجَبَلِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he يُرَبِّيهَا, you can say is from like tarbiyah, raising, yeah, yeah, in this case means increasing it, yeah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases it, yeah, like for the person, multiplies it, yeah. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just like a person, yeah, nurtures and takes care of a foal or a colt of a horse, yeah, yeah, a foal, a baby horse. Yeah, just like a person looks after that, hatta, until it grows to the size of a mountain, like it becomes an adult big horse. So here, showing that a small good deed, which is from good earnings, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but honest earnings, yeah, that's when it's accepted, and then it's multiplied many times over by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in contrast to what I said about somebody. And therefore, you find that then Imam Tufi and Ibn Rajab go into the some aspects of where deeds may not be accepted because they're mixed up, whether in ibadat or other things. We've taken an example here of somebody giving donation, which apparently, and we're not here to judge, it's for the person themselves, apparently looks all right, but if it's from, therefore, earnings which are dishonest, then is it going to be accepted? Yeah, that's the question. So in that regard, we also have a hadith in Sahih Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ صَلَاةَ بِغَيْرِ تَهُورٍ وَلَا صَدَقَةٍ مِنْ غُلُولٍ. Yeah, the Prophet ﷺ said, hadith in Sahih Muslim, Allah does not accept the salah of a person without them doing the ghusl or wudu, yeah, without being in that state. Yeah. So that salah with its condition. But after that, it mentions, and sadaqah, charity, is not accepted. وَلَا صَدَقَ مِغُلُولٍ, from somebody who's treacherously, yeah, stolen, yeah, yeah, basically stolen the goods. Charity won't be accepted from that. And ulama then have the discussion about, and have various opinions of a robber giving charity, yeah, is it accepted or not? And Imam Shafi, for example, says that the person he's robbed, the best thing he can do, really, for acceptance of it rather than giving charity, is to keep that and get it back wherever, as much as possible, back to the person he robbed. In regards to, for example, they apply it to ibadat as well. Ulama discussed, for example, somebody doing Hajj after they got stolen a load of money, you know, got it through illegal means of money, and then they use that money to go and perform Hajj. Is the Hajj and Umrah accepted? Yeah. Some said the Hajj is accepted. Others said no. And personally, I think the best opinion on this is the Hajj is not accepted in this regard. Why? Because one of the requirements of Hajj as an ibadah is that you have the means financially and physically, otherwise, to be able to make the journey to the place and back and provide for your family as well while you're away. All that's included. So that ibadah is actually linked with your ability. So if you steal, then you're actually affecting the ibadah itself. Yeah, because it's based on you having that financial capability to be able to go there and the physical capability. Yeah, so you actually interfered with the essence of Hajj itself, even though the Hajj itself is the circumambulation and standing at Arafah, etc., etc. But all of that you were only able to do. In other words, without the stolen money, you were not eligible, and there was no obligation for you to do the Hajj and Umrah in the first place, was there? Man istata'a ilayhi sabila. For the Hajj is for the one who is able to make the journey, which includes they have the financial ability to be able to do it. It's different if somebody offers them the money and gives them the money, not when they've stolen it from somebody. In contrast to that, when we have, there's various opinions of somebody who's stolen some clothes and their person is wearing them and they perform salah in it. Now, ulama came with various opinions on to whether the salah actually is accepted for that person who's wearing stolen clothes. And some even have, where is it? Just give me a second, please. Yeah. So some came to the conclusion and said, no, this person's salah is not accepted because they're wearing stolen clothes. Others said, and I think the second opinion, which is the salah is accepted, is the best opinion in this regard, in contrast to the Hajj. Because the stolen clothes are not part of the salah. Whereas the ability to have financial ability to travel for the Hajj was part of the obligation. Yeah. Salah itself is not affected by whether you have stolen clothes on or clothes that you own yourself. Yeah. So I think the best opinion is Salah is valid. Doing tawbah for the stolen clothes, trying to make amends for that, is the key thing and the necessary thing. Yeah. So if you have somebody who's got stolen clothes, I mean, the idea is not to tell them, right, you can't pray. Yeah. Because they need to pray. Yeah, more than actually the ones who haven't been going around stealing and robbing. So you actually don't want to deter them and say, well, your salah won't be accepted. Subhanallah, how many people use the excuse in our community, not from stolen clothes, of not doing their salah because they say, oh, well, I didn't do istanja. Yeah, I didn't wash myself in the toilet. I don't know how they managed to do that anyway in the first place. Not wash themselves, whether they're doing salah or not, because that's just part of cleanliness, isn't it? Yeah. So they make the excuse that my clothes are impure. And I've never really understood what they mean by impure, but I think that's what they mean, that they didn't do the istanja or use a tissue or water to clean themselves. And they especially mean that in regards to urinating or micturition, because I don't think they mean it for the number two, because they definitely clean themselves in regards to that. Even non-Muslims clean themselves, human beings all over clean themselves in regard to that. But that's people use, and that's a poor and weak excuse that people use for avoiding praying the obligatory salah. Sorry, I need to look at the time. Okay. Now, the Prophet ﷺ then carries on. Yeah. And here, um, Just before I carry on, see if I've mentioned everything, not left anything out. Yeah. So then the Prophet ﷺ said, surely Allah has ordered the believers as he has ordered the messengers. Before he recites the verses. In other words, the messengers, whatever guidance they were sent with, they were expected to follow the same guidance and be an example for the believers. Unless takhsis came specifically for an order which was only for the messenger or the prophet. And it excluded others. Yeah? And we have examples of that for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah? Believers were not allowed to do certain things the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was allowed to do. Yeah? For example, in regards to fasting, yeah? Not doing iftar, and fasting for a few days continuously without eating and drinking. Yeah? Or wisal, as it was called. And his followers were forbidden from doing that. That was takhsis specifically for him. In regards to marriage, he was allowed to marry, and then he was finally stopped by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But, you know, we have that he had at one time, for example, 9 wives, yeah, for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was special for him, yeah. His wives were special for him, were specifically screened off with hijab from the rest of the society and community, yeah, that specifically came for them, and they were not allowed to marry, yeah, after the passing away of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those are things which are specific, but generally, yeah, the here is showing by this statement that that which the believers are being told to do or not told to, told not to do is the case for the messengers themselves, yeah, as well. So that's why the quote is from the ayah, the first ayah, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quotes the ayah in Surah 23, Surah Al-Mu'minun, verse 51. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then recites. Yeah. Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu salihan inni bima ta'maluna 'alim. Oh, you messengers, eat all of you from that which is good and wholesome, meaning what Allah has made halal. Yeah. Not from the khaba'ith, not from the haram and the filthy and that which is harmful. Which Allah decides what's harmful and what's good. Yeah? Yeah? And actually, tayyib, therefore, is wide. As we know, the field of the foods and drinks we can eat and drink is limitless. It's endless. We can carry on listing. The list which is limited is the list which is under the other category of khabith. Yeah? That which is not wholesome, that which is haram to eat and drink, that's a very small list. Yeah. So you can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it open. So people were eating and drinking when revelation came, and they carried on eating and drinking. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala confirmed it by calling it tayyib. Yeah. What human beings are eating and drinking generally out there is all tayyib. Yeah. Only what he has made haram, and therefore Allah decides what is not tayyib, yeah, then they have to stay away from. That becomes haram after revelation comes, and it's a very small list. And that's important to realize, that the tayyib didn't become tayyib, that Allah didn't decide a list for what you can eat and drink. It was, people were already doing it. When the revelation of the Quran comes saying this, yeah, the mushrik Arabs and everything that they were eating in their family, it means all of it is tayyib and fine, except eating dead and blood and khinzir, yeah, except and drinking khamr. When those things then came under the category of haram and khabith, and they carried on eating and drinking as they were doing the rest of the things. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, and do good deeds. Yeah. إِنِّي بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ عَلِيمٌ. Surely I am fully aware of all that you are doing. Yeah. Then the Prophet ﷺ recited another verse. In this one, it's talking to the believers, as it talked in the verse I've just mentioned to the messengers. Now this one talks to the believers in a similar manner, saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُلُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. SubhanAllah, beautiful. Here Allah SWT says, and the Messenger of Allah is quoting it, O you who believe, O faithful ones, all of you eat of the good and wholesome things, meaning all what you're eating and drinking halal, yeah? Watch that from that which we have provided you with, yeah? Giving us a realization that Allah provided us all this. He is a Raziq, yeah? Innahu huwa al-Razzaq, inna Allah huwa al-Raziq dhul quwwati al-mateen. Surely it is Allah, He is the one who is the provider, yeah? So this is to remind the believers that we are dependent on Him providing us, yeah? And to be, therefore the verse carries on, washkuru lillah, so then be grateful to Allah, yeah, for the tayyib and the endless list of the tayyib of food and drink that He's given you for nourishment, yeah, and also saved you from that which is going to be harmful for you physically and spiritually. Allah decided, washkuru lillah, so be grateful to Allah for this. In kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun, if you worship Him alone, then be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam thumma zakara rajul, and this I'll deal with inshallah next time, this part of it, which is specially to do with the acceptance of dua. Yeah, here we talked about tayyib, and that tayyib applies, therefore, when you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, it's still under the category of what is accepted to Allah and what is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you know, if you're doing things in a haram manner and corrupted, and you get your money through corruption, and then you think you're doing sadaqah, this is not wholesome. Yeah, this is not wholesome. If you're doing shirk at the same time or worshipping, yeah, and worshipping graves and worshipping saints, mixing the asking them while you ask Allah as well, this is not going to be accepted as good deeds, is it? It's going to be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And shirk, the foremost of things that will never be forgiven. Yeah. So in regards to acceptance, we have this general introduction. The Prophet gives an example of a person, which we will deal, inshallah, with next time, the second part of the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us, forgive us, and enlighten us. Help us to be those whose deeds are tayyib, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. Allahumma ameen. I open for questions from those who want to ask on what we've covered so far today, inshallah. Any clarifications? Well, don't be totally silent, everybody. I mean, it just sounds as though everybody's asleep if you're all silent and nobody asks anything or says anything. Must be something somebody wants to clarify what I've said. In the rush of speech, you also often confuse people with what you've said. The questions always clarify those things. No? Nobody's going to ask anything? All right, I can't force you to ask. But I hope there was something useful said in regards to that part of the hadith that we've just covered. Inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh.
Jazakallah khair, everybody.
Yes.
Jazakallah, thank you.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all and accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for taking your time out. And I hope it was worth it. And bi'idhnillah, we'll continue with the last part of the hadith in the next session. Allah willing, next Tuesday, inshallah, same time, 7 o'clock.
Inshallah. Jazakallah, Dr. Munir.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum
salam. Wa alaikum salam. Jazakallah khair.